Good afternoon, everyone. I hope that you can hear me. My name is Benedetta Legranzi. I work in WHO Patient Safety in Headquarters Geneva, the deputy lead of the first Global Patient Safety Challenge, Clean Care, Safer Care. We are here today at the first presentation within a series of infection control lectures through webinar that the first Global Patient Safety Challenge inaugurated this year in 2010. I'm really very pleased to be the one starting this new initiative aimed at increasing knowledge and disseminating information about healthcare-associated infections, infection control in general, and main prevention measures through the webinar system, hopefully reaching a very broad audience around the world. The title of the presentation of today is The Global Burden of Healthcare-Associated Infections. This is a very important topic within the areas of work of the first Global Patient Safety Challenge, which, as you probably know, is a program within WHO aimed at reducing healthcare-associated infection worldwide. This program was started in 2005 and has focused on hand hygiene in particular for the first 4 years, and is now continuing to sustain the promotion of best practices in hand hygiene, but also is moving to other infection control areas, including the topic of healthcare-associated infection surveillance and monitoring. Unfortunately, I don't have time today to go on with the more explanations related to our program. This will be certainly detailed by Professor Pité and other speakers in forthcoming presentations. However, I would like to remind you the objectives of our program, which have been to raise awareness about the importance of healthcare-associated infections worldwide, and this is the area of work which will be highlighted in particular in the presentation of today. The second point has been to mobilize nations, in particular governments or network of professionals at country level, in order to improve infection control practices, increase knowledge within their countries, and as well as demonstrate at government level the commitment to reduce healthcare-associated infections through country pledges that have been signed throughout the last 4 years to support our program, and nowadays these countries are 122 across the globe. The third point is the development of technical guidelines and recommendations in order to standardize infection control measures and promote implementation strategies at country and facility level. And you may know our activities in the field of hand hygiene recently, and hopefully you will see other products coming up in the next months. As I said before, the topic of today is part of an area of work that we have developed during the last 4 years in order to assess the burden of healthcare-associated infection. This is a very difficult task, as I will try to explain to you in the next slides, because the actual worldwide burden is unknown, and to make estimates appears very difficult because this activity is hampered by limited availability of reliable data. In general, we think that healthcare-associated infection is a major patient safety problem affecting hundreds of millions of individuals worldwide every year, having multifaceted causation, which is related to three main issues. First of all, systems and processes of care provision. Second, economic constraints in order to invest, which prevent the investment in infection control, and also, unfortunately, human behavior of healthcare workers who, in some cases, fail to apply preventive measures that would be able to actually prevent the occurrence of infections both in patients and in healthcare workers themselves. Before going on with this presentation, I would like to remind you the definition of healthcare-associated infection, which is here reported. In particular, it is important to understand that this infection occurs in a patient during the process of care in any type of healthcare facility, regardless of the dimension of the facility and also the complexity of the care provided, so at hospital, ambulatory, long-term facility level. And to define it and therefore to detect it, it is important to understand that this infection must not be present or incubating at the time of admission, but develops during the stay at the hospital or other healthcare facility. And it is also important to understand that sometimes these infections that are acquired within the hospital or the healthcare facility appear later on after discharge, and this is in particular valid for surgical site infections, and therefore this aspect has important implications for surveillance. And the last but not least point is that healthcare-associated infection affect not only patients but also healthcare staff, and therefore occupational infections are a quite significant problem. Talking about the global burden of disease, you certainly know that there is a range of publications regularly issued by WHO and other organizations highlighting the most important infectious diseases or causes of disease worldwide. And among infectious diseases, we all know about the huge numbers related to malaria, HIV, and tuberculosis in particular, represented by hundreds of millions of new infections per year and having a clear impact on mortality and affecting in particular certain areas of the globe, apart from HIV, which unfortunately affects most countries worldwide. But what do we know about healthcare-associated infections? Unfortunately, as I said before, estimates about the global burden of healthcare-associated infections are not available. And as I said before, there is a range of publications like the one here represented from The Lancet, which is the global and regional burden of disease, published in 2006, which reports mortality, incidence, prevalence, and daily estimates related to a long list of diseases, which are actually 136, but do not include healthcare-associated infections. And another example is the recent report and regularly issued report by WHO, which was in this case issued in 2008, reporting an update related to 2004, which unfortunately does not highlight the problem of healthcare-associated infection either. In this slide instead, you can see a document which is unfortunately only related to Europe, but this is the ECDC annual epidemiological report on communicable diseases, which fortunately includes a section on healthcare-associated infections, thanks to the fact that ECDC gathers data from different national surveillance systems in Europe, in particular related to some countries and some specific types of infection, in particular ICU infections and also surgical site infections. So this is a very good product unfortunately highlighting the magnitude of the problem in the European region, as I said, and it is important also to highlight that there will be very soon a specific report only dedicated to healthcare-associated infections issued by the ECDC. Unfortunately, this is not the case for other region around the world, even if we know very well about the very efficient system which is in place since many years in the US, the now called National Healthcare Safety Network, which actually provides every year data especially related to device-associated infection in ICU patients. However, if we want to estimate the global burden of healthcare-associated infections, we can try to make rough estimates by taking into account that the average healthcare-associated infection rate is 10%, that there is an average attributable mortality of 5%, and different from other important infections such as malaria and tuberculosis, but in particular malaria, healthcare-associated infection actually affects all countries worldwide. We can certainly say that there is no country, no healthcare facility that can claim to have solved the problem. Therefore, if we take these estimates and we have the global hospital admissions per year, can we actually calculate a rough estimate of how many patients would be affected every year and how many patients would die because of healthcare-associated infection? Yes, we can try. This is the work we have done, but these estimates are absolutely not comprehensive, because the first obstacle it is actually encountered is the fact that hospital admissions are not available for all countries, but only for some countries, in particular in some regions. And in addition, it is really very difficult to establish this denominator, because there are countries or hospitals that record or report admissions and others that report discharges. In many areas of the world, there are other healthcare priorities that prevail, especially where human resources and finances are real constraints. As I said before, there are difficulties to establish a denominator. And also, surveillance is a very time-consuming and demanding activity, which requires expertise, as I said, time and funds. It is necessary to use standardized definitions, which are available but sometimes are difficult to apply. And this is because it is difficult to distinguish between infection, colonization, and contamination, as well as sometimes it is necessary to evaluate the clinical evidence of infection by looking at, for instance, the surgical wound or the catheter insertion site. There is a need for reliable information from the patient records, which in many cases, especially in hospitals in developing countries, it is not obvious. And in addition, and this is also a constraint in developing countries, there is a problem in performing microbiologic tests or other sophisticated investigations in order to establish the infection. And last but not least, what I have already highlighted before, the importance of associating the infection with the healthcare setting, with the admission to the healthcare setting, and also the importance of distinguishing between infections, colonization, and contamination. Another burden and constraint is the correct interpretation of data, the use of data for comparisons, therefore the importance of benchmarking, and of course the use of data, because surveillance is of no use if it is not then employed in order to improve infection control measures and therefore monitor amelioration of practices. In any case, there are very good reasons also to perform healthcare-associated infection surveillance, and the most important concepts go back to the 19th century and to one of the fathers or the father of infection control, who was Semmelweis, who is actually famous for hand hygiene, but the most important concept he transferred us is a process which starts from recognizing the occurrence of special events or recognizing the trend of infections within a certain healthcare facility or a certain setting, explain what is going on, and therefore subsequently act. So this is the basis for conducting surveillance. Without surveillance, especially in certain high-risk areas, it is really difficult to put in place the right interventions in order to reduce the problem of healthcare-associated infections. And the second reason is also that, according to many studies, and the one is here represented is only one single example, according to many studies, surveillance itself is effective in order to reduce healthcare-associated infection, as you can see here in this table, in particular for ventilator-associated infection and catheter-related bloodstream infection, with a reduction of the relative risk, according to this study performed in ICUs and surgical departments in Germany. As I said, the reduction of the relative risk related to the three very important types of infections, which are ventilator-associated infections, catheter-related bloodstream infections, and surgical site infections. As I highlighted at the beginning of the presentation, the objective today is to have an overview of the endemic situation of healthcare-associated infection worldwide, and therefore I will start from giving you the picture related to developed countries. And these data are data that you will well know probably because they are readily available throughout reports or scientific publications, whereas the issue is to identify the burden in developing countries. But this will be highlighted later on in my presentation. From this slide, you can see that according to a number of studies, prevalence of healthcare-associated infection in Europe ranges between 4.6 and 9.5, 10.1% in different countries, going from Slovenia, Italy, Scotland, Switzerland, and others. An average reported in the ECDC report I mentioned before is 7.1%. In the USA, the incidence countrywide is estimated to be 4.5%. And we have many more detailed data from the USA as well as from Europe telling us that this is clearly a very important problem, affecting 1.7 million patients in the USA with, as you can see, different types of infections. Among these, the most frequent are urinary tract infection, followed by surgical site infection and catheter-related bloodstream infections and ventilator-associated pneumonia, which have different incidence densities, which we will highlight later. But overall, lead to approximately 99,000 deaths every year, with an estimated attributable mortality of 3.6, and has a clear impact on expenditure with an economic implication of about $4.5 billion only for the USA. Similar figures, as I said, are available for Europe according to the ECDC report. As I said, the average prevalence is 7.1%, with about 4 million affected patients in Europe, but counting episodes of healthcare-associated infection every year in Europe, 4,500,000 episodes are detected. which corresponds to 16 million extra days of hospital stay and about 37,000 attributable deaths, but with an additional contribution to at least other 110,000 deaths. Again, in Europe as well, it is possible to estimate the impact overall about 7 billion euro per year, but only including direct costs. And as you can see in this slide, there are some countries that have national figures available of number of cases, number of deaths, and costs, but I don't want to go more into details. In this following slide, we can now identify what is the infection rate in specific patient population. In particular, in this slide are represented a number of national or multi-center studies across Europe. And as you can see, for instance, in an international study, the proportion of patients affected is about 20%. But it ranges in different countries, including non-European countries such as Japan or United States. It ranges between 8% up to, as I said, 29%. Again, in this slide, incidence density for device-associated infection are represented coming from different studies, mostly from the United States, as you can see, because, as I said, the National Healthcare Safety Network is active since many years in the United States. But in fact, I would like to report you as an overall figure, the most recent figures related to 2007 from the NHASN having as the most frequent type of infection, catheter-related urinary tract infection, with 3.1 infections per catheter days, followed by VAP, 2.3 per 1,000 catheter days, and catheter-related BSI, 1.5. This is related to infections in medical surgical ICUs in adult patients. In general, we know from data related to developed countries that healthcare-associated infection has a huge impact, as I've already said, and this is a summary slide reiterating the fact that they cause more serious illness, prolongation of stay in healthcare facility, long-term disability of, in worst cases, excess debt, high additional financial burden, and high personal costs on patients and their families. And the previously reported data can be summarized by this slide that I don't want to read, because it really summarizes what I said before. As I said, one of the most important aspects of this presentation is to try and highlight the burden of healthcare-associated infection in developing countries, because this is the least unknown area of this topic. And so, in general, what we know is that the risk of infection is considered to be from 2 to 20 times higher than in developed countries, and the proportion of patients infected can, in some studies, exceed 25%. And we know from WHO that there are some practices that can cause specific types of healthcare-associated infections. In particular, we know that hepatitis B and C, millions of cases of hepatitis B and C can be caused by unsafe blood transfusion, and also 100,000 of cases of HIV. Similarly, the reuse of contaminated syringes can cause a high proportion of the new cases of the same types of infection, as you can see here represented. At last, we have considered the unsafe waste disposal, and as a general figure, I can tell you that according to the WHO estimates, in 22 developing countries, the proportion of facilities using inappropriate waste disposal methods is considered to range between 18 and 64% of the member states. So this is really important. What are the conditions that lead to this higher burden of healthcare-associated infection in developing countries? Of course, there are inadequate hygiene conditions, poor infrastructure, inadequate and sufficient equipment. As I said before, there is lack of microbiological information, therefore the problem cannot be recognized, and therefore it increases over time. But there are other aspects such as understaffing, lack of human resources, overcrowding due to high number of patients, especially in particular periods of the year, who are admitted to healthcare facilities, related to availability of expertise in order to undertake surveillance and put infection control into practice. There is lack of knowledge and low staff preparedness. All of this leads also to inappropriate use of antibiotics. And then there are issues related to the general population, which is a more diseased population, an unfavorable social background, because also patients are part of the healthcare process, and therefore their awareness is also important as far as infection control measures are concerned. Overall, there is an issue related to the lack of national policies and programs, lack of investment and commitment by governments in order to strengthen infection control in their healthcare facilities. And as I said, there is a problem of costs and lack of resources. And in developing countries, there is a peculiar aspect related to economic burden of healthcare-associated infections, because there are different payer sources, and in many cases, patients are the payers of healthcare delivery, and therefore the costs fall on them. This slide is just to highlight that in a workshop that we organized in Africa 2 years ago, among the constraints to infection control identified at national level by healthcare professionals participating in this workshop, among the most important, lack of data collection have been identified. Just to reiterate the concept that the recognition of the problem is a necessary premise to the implementation of effective infection control practices. Given the lack of information related to developing countries, we undertook a systematic literature review related to healthcare-associated infection rates in developing countries, only focusing actually on the endemic situation and not on epidemic aspects of this problem. We investigated throughout a number of databases, the Cochrane Library, the PubMed, MBase, the WHO regional databases. So this is the ones that I'm going to present you are the results of a very extensive search, which only allowed us to look at a very limited number of full papers, following the selection of the most appropriate ones, and the overall number of papers was only 222, including two reviews of the literature, one on neonatal infections in developing countries and one on ventilator-associated infections in developing countries. From this graph, you can appreciate how there are regions that are quite well covered by this review, in particular the Americas and Europe. And you can also notice that the most frequent studies are on healthcare-associated infection in general, meaning hospital-wide, followed by surgical site infection, and later on we will understand some of the reasons why. From this map, we can then go more in depth and understand that regardless of some regions appear to be well represented, then this is only true for some countries. For instance, in the Americas, we have Brazil, which is very well represented. We will see the same information in the next map. or in Europe, Turkey is very well represented. But there are countries that are not at all covered by scientific studies related to healthcare-associated infection. So you can see in the next one, which is related only to studies on specific site infections, similar information. Some areas, some countries, Brazil, Turkey, India, Thailand, are well covered overall, according to our review, whereas the vast majority of developing countries, in particular in Africa and in Western Pacific and Southeast Asia, many countries are not represented at all. From this graph, you can also understand that, different from developed countries, the number of nationwide studies and multi-center studies is very low. And from this graph, you can also appreciate that most studies were conducted in single hospitals, single units, or single ICUs in particular. And therefore, another conclusion we can take is that, unfortunately, these studies are not representative of the country where they were conducted, but are only related to single facilities. Inter-facility comparison and therefore national estimates appear very difficult for this reason, and also for the methodology used in these studies, and in many cases the lack of use of standardized definitions, so that according to some quality criteria within this systematic review, we could identify only more or less 40-80% of studies as having a high quality. From the next slide, you can also appreciate that most studies were conducted in teaching or university hospitals or tertiary care hospitals, and therefore the reported infection rates may be slightly higher in these facilities, as we know. And from the next slide, you can see what is the prevalence of healthcare-associated infection in some of these countries. As I said, unfortunately, these figures do not represent the country, but represent single hospitals. But immediately, you can appreciate that infection rates are much higher than the ones that we saw in the map representing developed countries, and they can be as high as 90.1%, which is the highest rate reported by Albania. In this graph, you can also see what are the infection rates in ICU or high-risk patients. And again, we can clearly appreciate that infection rates are much higher than the ones that we saw in the previous graphs related to developed countries. And most studies have detected infection incidence density higher than 20 per 1,000 patient days, and in particular the range of the incidence density goes from 4.1 to 19.1 infections per 1,000 patient days, which can be compared to the one, for instance, reported in 2002 in the USA on a nationwide study in ICUs, which, as you can see, is 13.04. This is certainly very impressive, as is this table, which represents device-associated infection rates in ICUs in developing countries compared to the NHSN system in the USA. You can see here, for instance, in adult patients in medical surgical ICUs, the average infection rates reported that I already mentioned to you before, and appreciate the comparison with a multinational study including only developing countries performed in 2002-2007, which immediately points out much higher infection rates, as you can see. But then, according to our systematic review, by pooling studies from some countries, obviously comparable studies in terms of methodology and definitions applied, you can see that device-associated infection rates or density, incidence density, is incredibly higher, in particular related to VAP, but also in some studies, like in some countries, like in Argentina for SI and UTI, as well as in Turkey. So this is a very important aspect. Another peculiarity is the distribution of types of infection. If we look at ICU patients in developing countries as well as in developed countries, the most important type of infection is pneumonia, in particular ventilator-associated pneumonia, followed by BSI and UTI. In non-ICU patients, in developing countries, the really very most important type of infection is surgical site infection followed by UTI, whereas normally, as we said before, according to data related to the US, UTI is the most frequent type of infection hospital-wide in developed countries. Therefore, talking about surgical site infections, you may remember from the map, this is the most frequently performed type of surveillance in developing countries, obviously due to the easiness of defining the infection occurrence according to the definitions, some of which even do not require any microbiological data. Here you can see represented the studies were published on surgical site infection in developing countries according to our systematic review, and the bar represents the infection rates in the USA according to a national study, which is 2.6. So here you can see that the vast majority of studies detected much higher infection rates, ranging from 2.6 to 30.9%, which is very impressive, in particular in some specific settings like a pediatric hospital in Nigeria, another setting in Brazil, they can be as high as 30%. If we look now at another specific population, neonatal patients, as I said before, there is a very important review performed by Zaidi and co-authors published in The Lancet Infectious Diseases in 2005, which reports neonatal infection rates in developing countries being from 3 to 20 times higher than in industrialized countries, and also highlights how among hospital-born babies these infections are responsible for from 4 to 56 all causes of deaths in the neonatal period, three quarters of which occur in Southeast Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa. And according to our review, in particular pulling the data related to Brazil, we can say that the proportion of patients affected in neonatal ICUs is as high as 38.6%, with an incidence density of 37.3 infections per 1,000 patient days, which is clearly much higher if compared to the 6.9 incidence density reported in the USA. To conclude, related to developing countries, I also would like to highlight that a very limited number of studies investigated about risk factors, and the ones that appear to be most frequent in multivariate analysis are the ones that are listed here, in particular length of stay surgery, which corresponds to the high rates of infections, and intravascular catheters and urinary catheters. And this is similar in ICU, but with other details that we don't have time to highlight. And this table is meant to point out that out of the 220 studies that we retrieve in our systematic review as related to the endemic situation of healthcare-associated infection in developing countries, only few of them have information about the actual impact of these infections in terms of excess mortality, extra length of stay, the ones that have meaningful data are here reported. Again, we don't have time, but you can see that, for instance, the economic impact varies very much according to the country. And this can be due to the existence of different payer sources in developing countries. What are the conclusions of this overview? It is clear that the burden of healthcare-associated infection worldwide is likely to be very high and causes prolonged hospital stay, long-term disability, increased resistance of microorganisms due to antimicrobials, significant additional financial burden, high cost for patients and their family, and excess deaths. The lack of a reliable denominator or denominators, as I said before, and the use of different definitions and methodologies in different studies makes it currently almost impossible to obtain accurate global estimates. And as we saw, some developed countries and facilities succeeded at establishing good surveillance systems, and therefore data are available, as we saw, from the USA, from the European region, but others have not yet. And therefore, WHO recommends that existent regional networks and national surveillance systems be strengthened and new ones established. Related to the picture we gathered related to developing countries, we can certainly emphasize that this is very scattered, very partial. Many countries, as we saw, are not represented in this picture. As we said, the most frequent types of studies were hospital-wide and SSI study. As I said before, there was a low number of high-quality papers according to specific criteria, including prospective surveillance, the use of CDC definitions as main criteria. Going in depth and scrutinizing the papers, in many cases, the sample size is not available, microbiological data are not available, and as I said, there is limited information related to risk factors and impact. As we saw, SSI is the most frequent infection site, and this must be taken into account and will be taken into account by WHO in order to establish best practices to prevent this type of infection. And in particular, we can say that actually these infection rates are from 3 to 20-fold higher than in developed countries. This is the case also for infection in ICU or high-risk patients, in particular device-associated infections that are clearly much higher, from 3 to 30 times higher, for instance, than in the USA. And in any case, in all studies, even hospital-wide, high rates are at least 2 to 3-fold higher than in developed countries. At last, I would like to remind you that our program Clean Care Safer Care has a special initiative to continue to promote and sustain hand hygiene improvement worldwide. This initiative is called Save Lives, Clean Your Hands, and there is a specific dedicated page on our website which includes a very wide range of tools and guidelines in order to implement an effective hand hygiene improvement strategy within healthcare facilities and countries. You can access this page, and in particular, we would invite you to register your healthcare facility throughout our website at this link, because within this Save Lives, Clean Your Hands initiative, we will celebrate, as last year, a special day or even week related to hand hygiene promotion on 5th of May 2010. And by that time, we aim at achieving 10,000 registered healthcare facilities, and we are now at 6,000 since 5th of May 2005. To conclude, I would also like to remind you next webinar, which will be held by Professor Didier Pittet, who is the lead of the first Global Patient Safety Challenge. His presentation is entitled Modern Approach to Infection Control, and this will be on 16th of February at 3 p.m. again through webinar. With this, I would like to conclude and thank you for your attention, and I would like to devote the rest of the time to answering some questions. The first question is actually related to organizational issues linked to this new webinar series, and the answer is to emphasize again that the presentation has been recorded and will be available on our web pages in the next days, as well as the PDF version of the slides. Another question is related to whether or not this information will be published, and the answer is yes, of course, because as you noticed, what I presented was mostly our work through systematic reviews both on developing and developed countries. We are going to publish certainly some scientific papers, especially on the systematic review on developing countries, and then we will also publish later this year a report on the endemic situation of healthcare-associated infection worldwide. There is a comment which says that the methods for surveillance are not so good in developing countries, and therefore you cannot say that they are higher scientifically. Although I agree on this general comment, I would like to emphasize that through our systematic review, we very carefully selected the papers. In particular, we have sub-estimations that I couldn't show, only related to high-quality papers, which were selected according to the methodology used and the CDC definitions and also the accuracy while reporting data. So more details will be available through the publications we will hopefully be able to submit and publish in the literature, as well as through the report. But the judgment and the overall considerations I made are based on good quality papers, and based on this we can say that the burden is much higher, although of course data are missing related to some developing countries, as I said, and certainly also in developed countries the burden of healthcare-associated infection is underestimated. There is a further interesting question, which is whether the SSI studies categorize according to the NIST risk index. The answer is yes. I didn't present this data because they are more specific and part of the upcoming scientific publication. In any case, I can tell you that there is a clear correlation between the risk index and infection rates, according to the studies that measure this particular aspect. There are some questions on cleaning and decontamination. I'm afraid I won't be able to answer to these questions because I prefer to give the priority to questions related to the topic of today. And also, I would like to remind the people asked these questions that there will be a specific webinar lecture in September. Please check the agenda, which is published on our website, related to this specific topic. Someone else from Chile has wanted to inform us that they have many studies available from the Ministry of Health, and they would be happy to send them to us. So this is a very important information, because I didn't have time to highlight this, but within this area of work, what we are investigating is also which countries actually have a national surveillance system. And related to Latin America, unfortunately, we are still missing the information, but we are confident that we will be able to retrieve it. Because in the future, our aim is to integrate information coming from ministries of health related to surveillance of healthcare-associated infection with the results reported in scientific papers that are available in the literature. I would really encourage you to send us this information by writing to the email address, which is available on our website, but in any case is patientsafety@who.int. Someone is asking about a new hand hygiene audit tool, asking when will it be issued. I just wanted to highlight that on our website, as I said before, there is a range of tools related to hand hygiene promotion and pertinent to the different components of the WHO hand hygiene improvement strategy. So I would invite you to go to the Save Lives, Clean Your Hands website, because you can find not only the observation form, but a range of other tools related to evaluation and feedback. Maybe you are referring to a simplified hand hygiene observation tool that we are planning to issue in the next months, and will be focused on the measurement of compliance related only to one single indication that for this year will be before patient touching the patient. So this will be issued in the next months and will be used in particular around 5th of May 2010 in order to have a global prevalence measurement of compliance to this particular indication undertaken, as I said, in this particular time of the year among the initiatives that we will propose around 5th of May. There is a question related to which denominator would you recommend for presenting infection rates. It depends on what type of infections you want to measure. Of course, the data I presented were quite general, but as I said, surveillance is a very time-consuming and demanding activity, so the best approach could be to be able to undertake surveillance in particular in certain areas of the healthcare setting, particularly at risk, like ICUs or transplant unit or neonatal units. And of course, in these settings, the best is to evaluate device-associated infections, but not only, of course. And talking about denominator, in this case, the best, of course, is to consider days at risk and not simply number of patients or number of patient days. So these are the best denominators, of course. There is a comment saying that conducting studies in ICU is biased, as the patients are most troublesome, so infection rates are different from general infection rates. Of course, I fully agree on that, and in fact, I carefully distinguished infection rates between hospital-wide setting and ICU or other high-risk areas. As I said, it depends on the resources available. I personally believe that, of course, incidence studies are the most valuable, and these are, as we know, time-consuming and require continuous surveillance. So this is the reason why I would focus on specific high-risk areas. But I also think that it is important to have hospital-wide infection rates, and within this kind of studies to have infection rates related to specific other areas. Therefore, the best way to conduct this kind of studies is to carry out prevalence studies on a regular basis, such as at least annually. There is a question related to how many countries have infection control as a national program. I'm not sure whether this question is related to developing countries, but globally this information is currently not available, but we are trying to gather this overview and this kind of information. What you can find on our website is what countries have a hand hygiene national program, which is certainly part of an infection control program. And also there are some publications available in the literature. I cannot retrieve immediately the exact citation, but there are publications related to Europe, and in the upcoming report of the ECDC, this kind of information may be available, but I cannot give you more details. There is a very interesting question, which is, can we define healthcare-associated infection on a clinical basis only without microbiological evidence? Of course, this would have an impact on the accuracy of the infection detection. As you know, there are only few types of infection that can be defined only based on clinical definitions, in particular surgical site infection. In any case, I would like to inform you that over the last 3 years and at present, we have undertaken some studies in developing countries by using modified definitions, more based on clinical criteria. These definitions are not yet fine enough to be considered validated, therefore we cannot disseminate these protocols and definition criteria, but I just wanted to highlight for you that we are working on this topic. There is a question related to availability of information about Asia. As I told you before, Southeast Asia, I would say, is on a third position within a scale among regions in terms of availability of information. So the best represented, as I said, are Europe and Latin America, and Southeast Asia is on a third level, let's say. Certainly, from some countries like India, like Thailand, there are many studies, or a good number of studies. You will see the results of the review of these studies hopefully very soon in our publications, but I cannot tell you more details. Just in case you have specific questions related to specific types of infections, please send us an email. Someone asked some examples of practical methods to follow patients after discharge so as not to miss healthcare-associated infection. I just want to point out that there were some publications highlighting the importance of the use of mobile phones in developing countries, which has made possible to trace patients after discharge much more than in the past, because, as you know, in these settings, patients tend to be lost to follow up very frequently. In any case, I cannot cover this topic today and go into more details. If you want, you can submit the question by email. Apparently, there are no other specific questions. At the same time, I see that there are many comments thanking us for this initiative and for the presentation of today, and other positive comments on the importance of gathering WHO support in healthcare-associated infection surveillance and infection control. I would like to thank all of those who wrote comments. And also I would like to add that, as I said at the beginning, there are many tools on our website to improve hand hygiene practices, but we are currently working on further tools, first of all, for preventing surgical site infections that hopefully we will be able to issue next year. We are here in a technical team ready to help you and support you. If you have any need for expertise or advice on infection control, so we would like to invite you to participate in the next webinar presentations in order to gather more knowledge and information. And also, I would like to invite you to submit questions through our website and our email addresses that you, again, can find on our website. Let me remind you once again that next month we will have a special lecture by Professor Didier Pittet on 16th of February at 3 p.m. on the modern approach to infection control. That one will be particularly interesting, of course. So thank you again for your participation, and I hope you enjoyed this first lecture and that you participate in the following ones. Thank you very much and goodbye.